There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve. Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 772, October 15th, 2018. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. Question of the day is, what do we say when a German driver wins the championship in an Italian team? We say Schumacher.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, is Mick Schumacher the real deal? Does no competition diminish the title? And what happens next? I also want to say that we need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab on the front page. You know you want to. And I want to thank those who contributed last month. Of course, anybody who donates $100 or more will receive the famous F1 Weekly coffee or teacup. I want to thank Costanza Tedesco from Virginia and Peter Brazier from the UK for donating. We appreciate it. That bought us more server space. Nasser, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I am doing very good, sir. I am ready to depart to Tejas in a few days, so I'm really looking forward to the United States Grand Prix. How are things on the left coast?
The left coast is dry. Haven't seen rain since the month of April.
Of 2018?
Yes, this is 2018, yes.
Well, that's not too bad then.
Yes, correct.
Things can always be much worse, you know.
Yeah, but I don't live in Africa.
You don't?
No.
So, sir, what do you think will be happening in Texas? I'm excited.
Well, Toto is about thinking of crazy things like he might break a finger. So, not sure where Toto is, but it makes sense because it's pretty boring at Mercedes when you're dominating all across the nation. So, when you dominate, you got to come up with other problems that don't exist, like breaking a finger, falling down while he's roller skating. I don't know. Maybe LCH is not allowed to twerk.
Well, you know, let's not forget, in 2007, when McLaren lost the championship due to a civil war, who was the engine supplier? It was Mercedes, and they have not forgotten that, and yep. You can blame them.
Well, that was 11 years ago, and McLaren was actually a team at the front of the spear then. So we have apples, and we have bananas.
And we have cucumbers on the road.
Yes, and we have a completely different scenario now. Mercedes is completely dominating. Seb is completely rattled, and Toto is worried about LCH's finger.
Yes, and Austin Powers may see LCH hang him high in Texas this coming weekend. Toto's tomboy has been on a hot roll and has a commanding lead in the championship. And as you know, Lewis has been very successful on the North American continent. His first pole and victory came in 2007 north of the border, and he also won the last F1 race at Indianapolis. And during that race, there was another driver who was racing his car towards the, his pit people. Do you remember that scene, sir?
I don't recall.
Okay, well, I recommend watching a review of the 2007 U.S. Grand Prix. In Texas, Lewis is the Power Ranger. Check this out, Clark. Of the six Grand Prix races run at Circuit of the Americas, also known as COTA, since 2012. The only time he did not win was 2013, when Seb won the race as a Red Bull driver. and last 2 years Lewis started the race from pole position. So chances are very high he may be putting on some KC Masterpiece barbecue sauce on his fifth championship Sunday evening in Austin, Texas. A Mercedes 1-2 or victory by Lewis and P2 by the other number 2, i.e. Kimi, will put Seb out of his misery. And you may ask yourself, where is my beautiful Max? After trading paints with both the red cars at Suzuka, the Flying Dutchman may drop the final blow on Seb's ever-fading championship hopes on Sunday, Sunday. What say you, Mr. Rogers?
Is he still in the fight for the championship?
Well, that was the question Max Verstappen had.
Yes, I mean, come on. I mean, the towel is on the ground. It's bloody. The fat lady is done singing. I mean, what else does everybody want? Toto's worried about fingers and maybe paper cuts.
Now, obviously, in your dreams, Nando will be winning this race. But how do you see reality panning out on the track? Especially, do you think the championship will be wrapped up here?
It will be wrapped up here. It's going to get boring. Even LCH is already talking about, you know, he wished he had some kind of competitive Vettel behind him. You know, he was hoping that it would go down to the wire. I mean, everybody was. I mean, when LCH says he was hoping for competition, I mean, all the fans are. You know, we're all sort of disappointed that it's done, but it is what it is. And Toto is right. I mean, to be messing around, he's got to go full 150%, get this wrapped up so, you know, he can put away that first aid kit he's been carrying around.
No, I think we will see the championship wrapped up here, which will be interesting. But it's going to get very exciting after that. Valtteri Bottas is going to have a few wins. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, Hungary, Rubinho.
Yes. And it has to, well, we have to see if Kimi Raikkonen can win a race before he moves from Ferrari to Alfa Romeo.
Well, the best part about Kimi, he's no nonsense. He doesn't go for arbitrarily winning Grand Prix. He's going for championships. And if anybody starts eating ice cream and watching reruns of Bonanza, will be Kimi Raikkonen. Once the season's over for him, hey, he's thinking about Sauber. It's close to his house. It's going to be wonderful.
Yes. What do you think will be happening in the Red Bull camp between Max and Danny Boy?
Not very much. This season, once it's done, it's done. Everybody's focused on things change quickly, and everybody's already switching to 2019. So we're going to see a lot of teams trying out new parts. Yeah, and of course the points still add up, but everybody who's going to be where they are. Yeah, I think the fight could be between Renault and Haas, because Haas loves saying how they're going to beat Renault. But in the end, we're all going into development 2019 because you just can't waste time in Formula One.
Well, it will be nice to see the home team Haas F1 get in the top five. And some years ago, Mr. Romain Grosjean was second in this race in his Lotus days. And I expect his teammate K-Mag to do a Texas Tango with somebody sometime during the race. He and Nando are quite good at it during qualifying also. So there will be some excitement there. And, I'm beginning to feel sorry for Esteban Ocon. Looks like he's going to get the Isaac Hayes CD.
Who's the black private dick that's a sex machine to all the chicks? You're damn right.
In case it has not already been delivered.
It's not only delivered, but Isaac Hayes himself has been booked to play it live.
You know he's in Motel Deep Six.
Yeah, I know, but today we have the technology.
Oh, yes, very true. And so what else are you expecting there? Okay, main talking point has been, what kind of an intro we have for the drivers this time?
Well, the vulgarity of the wrestling, a.k.a. in this corner we have the conceding champion. That's not going to happen.
Maybe they should bring some Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders there, you know.
That's a good idea. But, you know, we have to be PC now.
Oh, yes. Very true. Very true, at least in Formula One.
So I think it's going to be back to normal, especially since the championship's going to be wrapped up. So they're going to focus more on the entertainment You know, I don't know. I don't even know who's playing.
Are we going to see McLaren in this race?
McLaren? Yeah, they'll be fighting with Williams.
Oh, boy. Both of them have really gone from the very top to the black hole of Calcutta.
It's unbelievable. If somebody told me this would have happened 11 years ago, I wouldn't believe it.
Even 3 years ago, it would have been hard to believe that McLaren would go down to such depths. And the amazing thing is, you know, when they were throwing Honda under the bus, right, left, up and down, and there was talk of fighting in the top five, now they're fighting with Williams.
Yeah, it's so sad.
Well, you know, if HRT was still around, you know, maybe they would be fighting with them too.
I love HRT and Super Aguri.
Yeah, Super Aguri had some muscles.
So exciting.
Yes. That's the way it is, man.
I know. Let's bring back Nahrain Karthikeyan.
The cucumber?
Yeah, we need him.
Yes.
So exciting. But it is what it is, you know. You have fun in Texas, have a lot of ribs and all that stuff.
Yeah, it should be fun. I'm flying out Thursday night, and so I'll be there all day Friday, all day Saturday, and most of Sunday, of course. So we'll see what we can do, who we can meet, who we can talk. Obviously, you know, courtesy of Mr. Peter Nygaard, I have a media pass, but any interviews we do, we cannot play on the podcast.
Well, you could lie. You know, I mean, don't let Trump scare you.
No, you know, it's we have ethical standards here at F1 Weekly.
I understand. What are they going to do? Dock our paycheck?
No, what they will do is they will put Nasser Hamid on the blacklist. And that will be the end of getting a media pass.
Well, if the media pass results to nothing, I mean, I guess schmoozing is fun. Pressing the flesh.
There you go. No, we can always put these interviews in a text format and put them on the website. So it's, you know, we'll see what we can do. I will also talk to some people. You know, I'm sure I can understand if we do an interview with Kimi, or which we're not going to do anyway, with current drivers. But, you know, if we're talking to somebody who raced 6 years ago or 15 years ago, then we should be allowed some exception. You know, and exemptions, I should say.
What do I know? I know nothing. I'm the conspiracy guy.
Yes, you were last weekend, that's for sure.
And I still am, because I was right.
Okay, man, I do have to hate to share this bad news from England. Donington Museum. Which is located, of course, at the Donington track, is closing the doors. The track is now owned by Dr. Jonathan Palmer's Motorsport Vision, while the museum was run by Tom Wheatcroft's son, Kevin Wheatcroft. And, of course, you know, Tom died some years ago. And Mr. Brazier and I have been to this fantastic museum a few times. And on our last visit, we had noticed no Ferrari in the collection. And like we said before, you know, a motor racing museum without a Ferrari is like a football museum without a photo of Pele, or in the year 2525, a podcasting museum without any mention of Clark Rogers.
Shocking. Simply shocking.
Yeah, that would be a big tragedy. But, you know, hopefully these cars will go to some other museums and all that, and, you know, we'll still go and enjoy them. There were some cars that were very near and dear to me, like the Van Wall from the 50s. Well, let's see where they end up. Have you ever been to this museum, sir?
No.
Okay, so now your chance is gone. And, you know, one thing I'm really looking forward to, if I can sit down, you know, Rubens Barrichello has time on hand these days, I think. So you know, if we can do some interviews with him, Robert Kubica. I've sent a couple of emails to some teams, and I'm waiting. One person I'm really hoping who will be there is your hero, Alain Prost. You know, last year I met him, and he was willing to do an interview, but just, you know, timing did not work out. But it's hard to do interviews on a Sunday, if you know what I mean.
It's a little busy on Sundays.
So that's how it goes sometime. But we'll see what can be done here. We shall have a report Monday after the... Monday... Yeah, I'm flying. But yeah, Monday we can do a podcast after the race.
Fantastic. So what do you think about Mick Schumacher winning the FIA Formula 3 European Championship?
Well, you made a comment at the start that competition was not good, which I don't think is correct. But, you know, this was certainly big news from the weekend. that Mick Schumacher won the, he finished second in the second race. And you know, these races, you can watch live on YouTube and Facebook, which I did. So he finished second in the second race of the weekend at Hockenheim Ring, and that made him the 2018 FIA Formula 3 champion. And you know, next year this series is merging with GP3. It will be known as, instead of European Formula 3, it will be known as Formula 3 International or International Formula 3. But I have to say it has been a very impressive performance by Shumi Jr. And all of it happened in the second half of the season. A big day for him, as this is his first championship win in 4 years of motor racing. You know, he has been racing against Inam Ahmed from the karting days, so I have a pretty good idea of his racing progress. Last year he raced in F3 with the same Prema team, which is co-owned by Teddy Yip Jr. He was a rookie, and he did not win a race, and so was Lando Norris. And Lando Norris completely blew away everybody. So that was a question mark, you know, how good Mick Schumacher is. But his performance in the first half of this year's championship was pretty much like the performance. And do you remember the first GP2 season?
Yeah.
So in that first half of the inaugural GP2 season, Nico Rosberg was nowhere to be seen. It was Heikki Kovalainen who was running away with the championship. But Nico, whatever clicked, he was on fire in the second half of the season. And then, you know, despite being nowhere in the championship hunt at midway point, he sank the championship hopes of the man who won the very first GP2 race, and that was, of course, Mr. Kovalainen. So in the same way, it took Mick Schumacher 15 races this season. You know, they have 3 races every weekend. So it took Mick Schumacher 15 races to score his first F3 victory. And incredibly, it came at the same track where his Papito made his dramatic Grand Prix debut and also scored his first Grand Prix win back in 1992 at the beautiful Garden of Eden of Motorsports Spa-Francorchamps. Now, after that race, after that win, I should say, the Shumi Jr. steamroller was nonstop. He won 5 races in a row, including all 3 races at the Nürburgring, which was very, very impressive. And this rattled the cage of early championship leader and Red Bull Jr. Daniel Tictum, who made some comments questioning the integrity of Schumacher and his team and asking why other teammates are not so quick, because they are like 4 or 5, you know, guys in the team. And this did not go down in the racing media, and Daniel Tictum, of course, quickly deleted his tweet, or maybe it was on the Instagram posting, but damage was done, which prompted Mr. Christian Horner to say, Daniel Tictum sometimes engages his mouth before his brain. So that was not a good move on his part. So our congratulations to Mick Schumacher on a very wonderful performance and championship. And yes, apart from winning the championship, he again proved he is Papa's son by making Papa's move on Barrichello in Budapest on Tictum during race 1 in Baden-Württemberg, where Hockenheim is located. And all of this, like I said, can be seen on YouTube or Facebook on the FIA F3 European Championship webpage. Now, for the record, race 2 was won by Yuri Vips of Estonia. The opening race of the weekend was won by Chinese driver Guan Yu Zhu, who is in the Ferrari Driver Academy. And he won the very first F3 race of the season in Po. Third and final race of the weekend was won by Russian driver Robert Schwartzman. He is also in the Ferrari Driver Development Program, and he really checked out in race 3, which was very, very impressive. Any thoughts on Mick winning the championship as far as you are concerned?
Well, I think Gerhard Berger really had a lump in his throat. I think he was a little overwhelmed and overcome with emotion, and talking about how he looks like Michael, and he even has Michael's forearms and his Michael's walk. So it's just too bad Michael is not in a good state right now to witness all this.
Yeah, of course, that's very sad. And you know, I saw him in 2004 when I went to see Inam Ahmed race at Oschersleben in a go-kart. Mick Schumacher was there also. And, you know, sure enough, he looked like a younger version of Michael Schumacher. But, you know, unlike Papa, he smiles and he talks, and I am told that his PR lady is the same lady, Sabine Kim, who was the PR lady for Michael Schumacher, that his interviews are very controlled. And that's why, you know, when I was at Stanford and we interviewed like 2-3 drivers from his team, Kramer team, I did not even ask to interview him, because chances are they would have said no.
I could imagine.
Yeah. But I wish him well, you know, and most probably even now. I am surprised that him having such a dominating second half that nobody has stopped forward as of yet, that at least I'm not aware of, like a Ferrari or a Mercedes. Or I think he has some affiliation with Mercedes program, but I haven't heard anything that he's been snapped up by one of these big F1 teams.
Well, I think the biggest problem is if you start doing that, it makes it seem like the Schumacher name is working for him. So I think anything like that is going to be kept behind the scenes.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, this year the depth of competition was very good, but most of it was coming from rookies. There were some very talented rookies. But I was very surprised that there is this kid from Estonia, Ralph Aron. This was his like third or fourth year. Last year he did a pretty good job. I was expecting him to do well. And then this kid who had a wild finish, Ferdinand Habsburg, and we did an extended interview with him earlier in the season. He's from Austria. He was nowhere to be seen, and he was also in his second year. So there were quite a few surprises.
Well, when you're a Habsburg, you know, he was probably getting, you know, his bedroom remodeled.
Yes, and our friend Inam Ahmed, you know, he had a very strong start to the season. He won 2 races early in the season. He was leading at one point, but he ended up finishing in the top 10 in the championship, which again, you know, with the field being a lot of good drivers, talented rookies, and some very experienced drivers, is very impressive for in your first. I mean, you know, Mick Schumacher did not win a race last year, but Inam in a, I think, a more competitive environment was able to get 2. So I wish him well, and hopefully we will see Mick Schumacher in Formula 2, and hopefully we'll see Inam on the new International F3, which would be, you know, racing on the same weekend as Formula 1 races, pretty much replacing GP3. Exciting times ahead.
Absolutely. 2019, here we go.
Yes, okay. Now, Formula 3, up until now, was, of course, promoted by a company called ITR, which also promotes DTM. So the DTM final race and the championship was decided, and the 2018 DTM champion is Gary Paffert. The Mercedes driver was third man on the podium to secure his second DTM title. And British driver, of course, Gary Paffert, he called it the best day of my life. You know, somebody some years ago told me that at one time, Sauber had offered a seat to Gary Paffert. And this came from somebody who should know these things, an F1 insider. And Paffert's team manager asked for more money, and they went somewhere else.
Gary Paffert expected to be in F1, and he got the Isaac Hayes CD.
Who's the black private dick that's a sex machine to all the chicks? You're damn right.
Quite a few people get that. Do you remember when they were talking about in Max Mosley era about private teams running cars from established teams, you know, like customer cars?
Right.
Gary Paffert's name was linked very heavily, and so was the name of this guy from Canada who races in DTM, Bruno Spengler, who I think is a very good driver also. Okay, so anyway, the final race was won by local chap Rene Rast in his Audi. He also won the opening race of the weekend. His fellow Dodgen man, Marco Wittmann, was second for BMW. And this was the final race in the series for Mercedes, as they are taking their star power and Gary Paffert to Formula E. And Gerhard Berger, who is boss man of DTM, was very happy to announce that Aston Martin is joining the series next year, which is very good. And I would like to see, you know, Nissan with their GTR or Lexus also come into this thing. And at one time, Opel used to be here also, and they're now owned by, I'm sure you know, Opel is now owned by Peugeot Citroën Group, right?
Correct.
So maybe they can come back. It could be good.
Well, Aston Martin really saved DTM's ass. because without Mercedes, it would just be BMW and Audi, and that would be pretty boring.
Yeah, that would not have been good. Yeah, but Aston Martin, you know, being a British make, it's going to raise the profile of GT, like it needs raising the profile in England. But anyway, it will be very good for DTM's global exposure.
Absolutely. And, you know, you sit there and you say you'd like to see Nissan's GTR or Lexus. You know, what's wrong with a Chevrolet today?
No, I mean, you know, the Corvette that races in IMSA, that's a beautiful-looking car. I mean, not sure why they don't take that or a Ford Mustang in the DTM series.
Yeah, but if they took a Ford Mustang, they would have to make it look like a 1967 green Mustang from the movie Bullet.
Well, the old Mustangs from the late 60s and early 70s, they are beautiful. The Boss Mustang, boy, do I love that car.
See, then they would get, maybe they need to go retro. Let's go back to the vintages.
Yeah. Okay, now let's talk something that will make you happy. World Endurance Championship and Nando. Toyota 1-2 at their own track in the 6 hours of Fuji. Winning car was driven by Kamui Kobayashi, Mike Conway, and Jose Maria Lopez. The second Toyota was driven by Sebastian Buemi, Kazuki Nakajima, and soon to be departed from F1, Nando. Another ex-world champion also led the race briefly and went on to finish fourth, and that was Jenson Button, with his comrades Mikhail Aleshin and Vitaly Petrov. You know, Jensen hangs out here in the U.S. Apparently he lives in California, so maybe he will be at Texas too.
Everybody wants to live in California.
No, it's a fantastic place, that's for sure.
It is fantastic.
Only thing missing from California is a Formula One race.
We can watch LCH win on television. He doesn't need to come here.
No, but a race will be fantastic in Santa Barbara or Long Beach.
Santa Barbara?
Yeah, street race in Santa Barbara would be good. One of my favorite parts of California, you know, when you're driving on highway, whatever it is, one that goes through Santa Barbara, I love it.
I know, but Formula E, yes, in Santa Barbara. Formula One, no.
Yeah, but now these cars don't make too much noises, so the geezers may not complain too much.
Yeah, but they put out exhausts. Trust me, yeah. I know Santa Barbara and the city council.
Yes, I have to agree with you. Well, there's always, you know, Fresno.
Fresno's nice. Raisins are free in Fresno.
Modesto, Sacramento.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome, sir. Okay, now, I really want to get your take on this Formula W. This is a new series that is being launched for ladies only. DC is behind this project. And the good thing is the seats will not be for sale, which means we will not see Letitia Stroll or Svetlana Sirotkin racing for glory. Drivers will be selected after test and evaluation of their skills. What's your take on this promotion for ladies in racing?
I mean, I like it. I mean, I remember when the NFL had the, when they were playing, women were playing football in negligees. I'm sorry. I couldn't help it.
Did NFL stand for Nike Football League?
See.
No, the thing is, you know, you have to give opportunity to people to showcase their talent. But I think, you know, this thing of trying to force feed racing talent who are not talent down your throat, that's where I have a problem. So, you know, what I was saying is, like, you know, when they had the Red Bull search in America for an American driver, they did find Scott Speed, they did find AJ Allmendinger. These are real racing good talent. So I think they should promote this thing to young girls in school from the ages of 8 to 12. So a lot of them come, and I'm sure it's a numbers game, you know. I mean, if you go to a karting event anywhere in this world, and I've been to a few here in the U.S. and overseas, I would say, well, 90% of the kids taking part are boys. So if you reverse the numbers for a few years, then you're going to have Maxine Verstappen or, you know, some fast ladies. It doesn't seem But when I said full speed, it's like, you know, jumping on a DeSoto in a bikini and trying to get publicity or becoming a development driver. The best ever comment on this issue, do you remember when Carmen Chorza became development driver at one of the F1 teams? Maybe it was Lotus, I think.
Are we talking about the comments from Jenson Button?
No, it was not from Jensen Button. It was from an English young driver who used to be her teammate. His comment was, Carmen Jordá cannot develop a roll of film, let alone a Formula One car. And, you know, like they have this lady from Colombia, Tatiana Calderon. She is, I think, driver development program. You know, we interviewed her many years ago when she was racing here in the U.S. I don't recall her winning a lot of races here. Then she has been racing in GP3 and Formula 3 for many years now. Nothing against her personally, obviously. But, you know, the results are not there like Max or Lando Norris. Or it's not like a George Russell. 1 year he wins the GP3, second year Formula 2. That's where I get confused. Do you remember when Don Penos, who recently departed, started a series? It was called, I think, Women's Global GT Series or something like that for ladies.
Yes.
Yeah, so they brought in ladies who obviously, you know, they did not have 5-8 years of karting experience and 2-3 years of racing. So if you're just plucking people from here, there, and everywhere and throwing them in a race car, it's not going to work.
Let's just wait and see, Ness.
That we will. I think media credentials would be pretty easy for Formula W.
Maybe for me.
Or for anybody.
Yeah, but I'm more charming.
Yeah, you always have been. Hey, I think we should put Desiree's name as one of the drivers.
Yeah, but she's still serving time.
Where in Waikiki?
No, in Sing Sing.
Okay. I thought Donald Trump would parole her.
No, but we're asking for a pardon.
Okay. Presidential. I beg your pardon. Okay. So there you have. Okay, now, did you watch any of the Petit Le Mans from Road Atlanta?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Well, you know, this was the final race of the IMSA sports car series. With two corners to go, Felipe Albuquerque ran out of fuel in his Caddy. And incredibly, he was turning left when he ran out of fuel. And the lucky winner was Dutch boy Wrenger van der Zande in his Wayne Taylor Racing Caddy. His co-drivers were Jordan Taylor and Ryan Hunter-Reay. Ryan Hunter-Reay, of course, of IndyCar fame. And Jordan Taylor is the son of Wayne Taylor, but a good driver. Now, good news is cousin Felipe Nasr was 8th, and that was enough to give him and teammate Eric Curran championship and success in the series. So I'm very happy for her cousin, and good start to his first year racing in the USA, and I would love to see him in IndyCar racing soon. You know, Road Atlanta, I have never been there, but I've always considered this as one of the mighty fine tracks here in the U.S. And now check this out, Mr. Rogers. You know, Global F1 Weekly has executives from all over the globe, right?
Correct.
And you know who the head of our IT operations is, Mr. Toby Dodd.
See.
I was, you know, he lives in upstate New York, not too far from the Canadian border. So I was having a chit-chat with him, and I asked him if he was interested in going to the Gilles Villeneuve Museum. And he said, yeah, oh, yeah. So him and I are planning a road trip from Albany, New York to Berthierville, Montreal area, hopefully before the year is out, to visit the Gilles Villeneuve Museum, which is very, very high on my bucket list. And not this weekend, but the following weekend, one of my very old friend's son is getting married in Atlanta area. And the wedding is on Saturday, and my flight back is on Sunday. So I have new motivation to use this opportunity and go to, you know, pay a visit to Road Atlanta. So if I do that, I'll bring some pictures. It's a very, very nice track. And I'm very surprised that, you know, Atlanta being such a big metropolitan city and cosmopolitan, that Indy cars do not race at this facility.
Me too.
You too. Okay, sir, now we come to the John Hancock segment. Driver signing, courtesy of Star Power, meaning Mercedes engine and almost championship success in Formula 2. George Russell has been signed to drive for Williams in 2019. I have a question for you. Both him and Esteban Ocon, your fellow Français, are Mercedes drivers. Do you think it's the right move to put in place of Ocon Russell here?
I really doesn't matter.
You don't care?
I don't care.
Would you like to see Nando at Williams?
No.
That party is over, huh?
I don't want to see Nando anywhere in Formula One. It's done.
Yeah. But anyway, there is one more round to go in the F2 championship, which will be in Abu Dhabi. and chances of George Russell not winning the championship are as high as his fellow countrymen not winning the Formula One championship this year. And again, this has been a very impressive performance by George Russell over a very competitive field led by Lando Norris and several experienced F2 racers. What he has done is what I was expecting from Lando Norris, but somebody made a comment that Russell had the experience of Pirelli tires, Lando did not. How much of that is true or not, I don't know. But the guy did a very, very impressive job, ran away with the championship. Now, just like Charles Leclerc, Russell is on his way to winning the F2 championship right after winning the GP3 championship in the previous season. It is very refreshing to see cream rises to the top and bypass Boudreaux with Buco Bucks and not much talento. So in 2019, we will have three British drivers on the grid that I am aware of with serious performance and championship pedigree. Lewis Carl Hamilton, Lando Norris, and George Russell. So the future is very bright for Her Majesty's Motor Racing Kingdom. Plus we have Daniel Ticktum waiting in the wings. If only he can get the FIA super license and Red Bull does not clip his wings, because I think if he keeps mouthing off, he will be on the slope with Dr. Marco.
Indeed.
Because Dr. Marco wants results, not talk. Have you seen a video there? If you check, I don't know if you've ever seen this. Remember Jaime Alguersuari?
My friend and my favorite DJ?
Yes. There's a YouTube video of him having an argument with Dr. Marco. And Dr. Marco is listening to him, and then he goes, "We don't accept it. We don't accept it." As we all know what happened to him after that.
Exactly.
Yes, now you get the Western Union knock on your door. Your services are no longer required.
Yep. Very familiar with that. So there you go. And don't forget, Formula Renault Euro Cup, the title decider in Barcelona, coming up this weekend.
Yeah, you know, talking about Formula Renault, what was going to happen, you know, these F3 cars that are being used this year, obviously they will not be used next year. So the teams that were having these cars, they were trying to do another, like resurrect the F3 Euro Series. So then FIA came up with this, that they will have a Formula 3 regional championship also, okay, in different countries. And your people at Renault Sport put a bid to run their championship because there was a tender out from FIA. And apparently that was given to an organization called WSK, which is affiliated with the Italian Sporting Authority, Motorsport Authority. So Renault people are not too thrilled. So they're going to have a new car. It will be like they will still call it Formula Renault Euro Cup because they cannot use the Formula 3 name. But it will be like an upgraded car with more power. And looks pretty good, I have to say.
Yeah. You know where you could see it?
On F1Weekly.com?
Correct.
Why am I not surprised?
I'm telling you, right there on the front page, nice pictures of the new car. I think it looks great.
Yeah, in the yellow and black livery. I saw that.
Bravo, bravo, and bravo.
Yeah, so there you have it. Anything else you want to discuss?
No, I'm done. You know, this season is almost over. I'm happy. Fernando is leaving, coming to America. I'm happy. And that's it. LCH can take his trophy and leave us alone for a while.
Yeah, you know, I just hope Fernando Alonso does not talk too much bad about Formula One. It doesn't bother me, but what's going to happen, he's going to say things, and then just people will, like they say, you know, you're as good as your last race. I would hate to see such a great talent go out on some negative comment or that are associated with him for the rest of his life, which will not be good.
Well, wait till the book comes out.
The book is coming out?
Oh, you betcha. The tell-all. 2007, my story, baby.
With forward by Lewis Hamilton?
No, forward by Flavio Briatore.
Yeah, Flavio Briatore.
And Heidi Klum.
Yes.
So there you have it, Ness.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. Enjoy motor racing, and we'll be in touch.
Okay. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Good night.
Bye-bye.